I'm here with Dr. Greg King from the COPD and Sleep Disturbances Study. Greg, could you please start by telling us a little bit about yourself and describing this study?
Sure. I'm a respiratory physician. I see patients at the Royal North Shore Hospital and at the Woodcock Institute of Medical Research. I'm a medical researcher. I'm interested in airways disease, and hence the study. The study is about sleep disturbance and sleep symptoms in patients who have the condition COPD, which stands for chronic obstructive airways disease. The study involves coming in for a full medical assessment at the Woolcock Institute, and that'll be done by one of the respiratory physicians, including myself. So we go into detail about the person's COPD, and the person will then undergo some lung function tests, which are in a fair amount of detail. So we specialize in detailed lung function. These take about an hour to an hour and a half. They require subjects breathing on a mouthpiece several times, and that gives us really good information on the state of function of the lungs. The patients then stay overnight for a diagnostic sleep study. And the sleep study involves having various leads attached to the face, the chest, and this allows us to measure the state of your sleep, how well you sleep, how long you sleep, the quality of the sleep, and it also allows us to measure breathing. So if there are any breathing disturbances, then we can pick these up. And after the study the following morning, some simple lung function will be done again. This is much briefer than the previous detailed lung function. And then you'll be given a peak flow meter. You'll take this home and it'll electronically record your lung function at home for the following 2 weeks. And then you'll return, have another very brief review and return the peak flow meter. We can download that information. You'll also be asked to fill out a number of questions about your health and about your symptoms, and we're particularly interested in symptoms around the evening, overnight, and in the morning. And that's basically the study in a nutshell.
Are there any possible benefits or compensation for people who participate in this study?
I guess the indirect benefit is the medical assessment by a respiratory physician for those people who want to have that. And for people to know about how good or not their sleep is. So we give the results of the sleep studies to all the patients, and we also discuss the results of the sleep study with the patients, and we send all the results, including the questionnaires, the lung function, and the sleep study. All those results will go to the patient, which presumably they can take to their GP. The process of talking to a physician about their COPD may be beneficial to some as well. It's not often that you get the chance to discuss your illness with a physician in detail, so some people may feel that that's a benefit.
What might we learn from this study?
Well, surprisingly, there's not that much known about how badly the illness COPD affects people's sleep, and I guess it's been relatively ignored in the research community, but there's a lot more interest in it, and we just want to know how common it is. How commonly do people get sleep symptoms, and how much is their sleep disturbed by their breathing? It probably affects people who've got worse COPD or more severe COPD than those who just have mild COPD, but this really, even a simple question like that, it's really unanswered at this stage. So that's the main, or what we call the primary question of the study. How common is sleep disturbance in patients who have COPD, and is it related to the severity of the COPD, and is it related to any changes in overnight lung function?
What impact could that have on individuals in the future?
Well, we currently, even in specialist practice, it's not that common for us to address overnight symptoms and sleep disturbance in patients who have COPD. And part of that is because of this lack of research information on the impacts of COPD and sleep. So we think that by knowing how common it is and its relation to various things such as severity and changes in lung function, we think that that information will allow doctors to be more aware if it is in fact a very common condition, which we do believe it is. It'll give us strong grounds in which to really strongly promote routine screening for sleep problems in COPD patients.
What impact could that have on the healthcare system or society at large in the future?
Well, if we do confirm that it's a very common problem, it likely has a lot of impact on the patients. It'll impact the way people feel, their activity levels, what they can do. It may even potentially have impacts on cardiovascular health. So, for example, risks of heart attacks or heart function. So the potential for benefits in the longer term are actually quite great. But in the shorter term, allowing patients to function better, feel better, and do more, that will not only improve the patient's quality of life, but hopefully it might reduce their need for help and that sort of thing related to COPD. It may even reduce or improve medication use, less use of medications even, who knows. But all these things are questions for the future if we can show that this is really an important problem in COPD.
What kind of people are needed to make this research possible?
We'd like to see all patients with COPD that have a significant smoking history. So in general, these are people who either currently smoke or who've been smoking for at least 10 years, even if they have currently quit. Patients may have very mild symptoms, such as just cough. They may be mildly short of breath if they walk up hills, or patients might have very severe disease where they're breathless just walking a very short distance. So we want to see people who've got a wide range of severity of this disease. They do need to have that smoking history is the critical one, and we will confirm or exclude the diagnosis of COPD as part of the medical assessment. So that, in fact, might be of benefit to some people to know whether they, in fact, do have the condition or not. We wouldn't be able to test people who are very severe, that is, who've been in hospital recently or who are recurrently in hospital or who are severe enough to need home oxygen.
Are there any questions that people have when they're considering whether to participate in this study?
I guess the most common question is whether they're going to get all the results and whether they will benefit their management from the GPs. I guess that really depends on what your or their doctors decide to do with the information. If we find anything that's significant, we'll always facilitate further investigation if necessary, and we'll liaise closely with the person's GPs if that's necessary. But this is what we do with the results is really determined by the subjects. We'll be guided as to what they want to do with the information. Any information and testing that we do as part of the study, that's not going to affect any of the management that your doctors started. So we wouldn't change any of your medications. We don't want to change any of the management structures or plans that your doctors implemented. And we'll keep your doctor informed as much as we can.
Dr. Greg King, thank you very much.
You're welcome.